lot to rent, but so many of them were burned without any insurance, you know, accidentally.
Fire seems to have been a really big problem for people in the early decades. Where do you think your mother got the resources to be such an enterprising, capable businesswoman?
Well, you know, my grandfather was, at one time, superintendent of work for the Calhoun Clemsons. That was Aaron Boggs. So that caused him to become more interested in the soil. Mm-hmm. And whenever any of his children were living at a place, and they decided to stay on, he'd help them to buy that place because he was getting his pay, I suppose. And so Uncle Hal happened to be living on a 400-acre place. That's a baby son. The mother's a baby girl, and Uncle Hal's a baby boy of the family. And so he was able to get that place with mother's assistance. And in the end, Mother owned it because Uncle Hal was a playboy, and he wouldn't pay his taxes, and taxes after years, and the price that the government puts on taxes with the courthouse, till Mother paid his taxes. So in the end, she owned that place. Well, the taxes sold it, you see.
She
county sold it.
To have, like her father, been very astute about land and taxes.
My mother was a good businesswoman. Even lawyers have said that about her. She was good because she was left with two little girls, you know. And she said lots of bills, and I guess she did owe lots of bills because they were trying to do things. And people get in debt when they're trying to do. So, but she was a very good mother. I'm not like my mother. I think I look like the Paines. You see, she was fair and I'm dark. And he was the dark complexion. I imagine he was good looking though. And I think Marion has a picture of him. I don't know. I know there's some small pictures here in all those drawers, but I wouldn't know which one.
Well, let's talk some more about your grandfather, Aaron Boggs.
Aaron Boggs.
Where was he from?
Aaron Boggs. I think he was reared somewhere in Pickens County. That's what I've heard.
So from near
somewhere
here.
Up Liberty around there. Aaron Boggs.
And you also said he worked for the Calhoun Plantation.
Yes. He was a supervisor of their farm.
One of the family traditions in the book on the Boggs family says that he was the overseer.
Yes, that's the proper name for it, overseer.
Do you know which one of the Calhouns he worked for?
No, I don't.
Your cousin you mentioned before, Mamie Crawford, had a book that suggested it was during the era of Andrew Pickens Calhoun.
Uh-huh.
But I'm still hunting, and I hope we can find something that'll eventually tell us. Where did your grandfather Aaron Boggs live after he was in this area? Where was his home?
Well, I think at one time, and I believe my mother was born there, at, if you were going out to Cherry's Crossing, there used to be a place there, a large two-story house where she was born, my mother, right there. And that, of course, is not there anymore.
And
that's where she was born. And would that be Pickens? That would be Pickens or Oconee County. It could be right together because those counties run together along there. So whatever that says, I guess is right about the county.
And where did he live in his later age?
Oh, he lived at a place commonly known by someone who had passed there and stopped in as Pleasant Curve. Pleasant Curve. There was a bridge that went over the railroad track, and he lived on the inside of the Clemson side. Mm-hmm. And this person had stopped there often, and he called it Pleasant Curve because my grandfather built a large room like this for the living room, and the next room was a large room like that, and a fireplace between the two. And they usually sat in that room, he and his grandmother. And then the two rooms, there was a hall. And the front porch light was so often used, those short porches about like this, you know, on the small house, on the houses in front. The porch was small. It had was real wide. I guess it's about 15 feet wide and about, I guess about 15 or 20 feet wide, and wasn't so long that way, you know. Anyway, that's where they lived, and they had a large room and another room and two large rooms here. And this one here was the dining room, and the kitchen was built off to itself. It had a large kitchen with one of those, like Lee's home, large fireplace and all kind of things to hang and could cook on, you know. And my grandfather bought her a cook stove, but she was so accustomed to cooking on the old fireplace that she really preferred. And that's where she'd bake large biscuit and crackling cornbread and sugar biscuit. She called them sugar biscuits, the great group crackers, you know, with sugar on them. And that's where they lived, and that was the big kitchen, and then they had a long dining room attached to that. And just this little end of the dining room was where they kept storage things. And on that back porch, he had a little storage room there. And she kept things to serve, I believe, on that little end next to the dining room. But that house was in two different parts.
And where, in present-day terms, would you describe that house as having been?
Well, it's just 1 mile from here. Mm-hmm. I could take you to the place.
Is it approximately, I think, where 123 and 93 intersect?
There was a big bridge that went across there. The old-fashioned road took them across the bridge. And down below the house was a spring. And they got water from the spring, bring it back and forth from the spring. Because I've drunk from the spring myself, so I know it was there.
And you also mentioned that this was the bridge that passed over the railroad.
Passed over the railroad.
But it's
going towards Central.
You remember, and we ought to note, that the railroad followed a different course back then, too.
Oh, yes.
So we're not talking about the present railroad.
No, the old railroad came right around by their house, you see. The road, the bridge crossed over, going to Central.
And
they're joining town.
Where are your grandparents buried?
They are buried up there in a private cemetery. Very beautiful. I'd like for you to see it. And my grandmother, his monument is a little high, but it's a lovely monument. And my grandmother had seen one at Stone Church that she liked very much. So she said she wanted that kind of, that same monument. And she said, you know, I think I'll just buy it myself and then I'll be sure to get the one I like. So she bought it, and it's a long, flat, has a place for flowers at the bottom, and said then there can always be flowers. I know they're not always there, flowers there. And it has a roll top. She had seen one at the stone church she liked. And so the people said, well, it looked like your grandmother thought she might not go and get a monument, but she got it herself. But she was able to get what she wanted. She bought it herself.
And that's in a private bog cemetery?
Bog cemetery. It's just 1 mile from here. I'd like for you to see it.
And
it's bricked around.
That's on a street now called Fabrica, I believe, just off of 93.
Yes, it is. You've seen that brick wall up there.
And
well,
how close was that to their house?
Well, that was the railroad, where the road is now. That was a railroad, you see, and the house was over across from it. Right there on kind of the little knoll, and down to the spring house. And you know, there was an old Hendricks house across over the way, and then on, of course, was Fort Hill.
When your father deeded the right-of-way to the railroad back in the 1870s...
Was it 100 feet? Both?
Right, and he very specifically required that the railroad not interfere with his house or the buildings around it.
Uh-huh.
So
he was a smart man.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was a smart man.
Was he a man who inherited very much, or was...
No, and I think cotton went real high, you know, after the war, or during the war or something. And he sold when cotton was 30 cents a pound. And that's when he made his money. And he didn't hesitate to work himself, and He never kept slaves. He always paid the men who worked for him.
What did he do with cotton? Did he raise it, buy it, sell it?
He sold it. He raised it on his farm. He became interested in buying land, you see, being a supervisor for these others, let him know that it was important to own some soil. You know, people do learn that way. He was a smart man, and Aaron Boggs.
Do you have any idea how big a farm he had around his house?
Well, he had a large farm, and you know, he gave every one of his sons, wherever they were living, he paid for that place. Now, Uncle Austin's place, that was Norman Boggs' father, and Uncle Hal's place, his daughter told me it was over 400 acres. He had the largest one of all. Uncle Hal was a baby son. My mother was a baby girl. And he gave my mother and father this block down here, you know, where they built.
Mm-hmm.
So he was right good with his things he bought. He gave them.
But you said he gave them the block. Do you mean the entire town block or the two lots?
Well, he must have given them a block. Must have given them a block. I don't know. I guess the records, of course, of Pickens County would show what he gave.
Well, let's go back also to make clear. You mentioned your Uncle Hal Boggs,
uh-huh.
whose name I believe was Henry Thomas.
That's right.
And where was his place?
Well, his place was out on the river, out where so many of the beautiful homes are now. It was lovely land, but they always called it the old Rack Field because Uncle Hal would rent it to people, you know, and there's a man named Rack. They always called it the old Rack Field. But the homes out there now are the prettiest ones at Clemson.
And your uncle's house is a beautiful one out on Mountain View.
Yes.
119.
Yes.
Do you know anything about the history of the house?
Yes. Uncle John Boggs from Pickens, A.J. Boggs. A.J. Boggs lived in the house where the Vanderbilts have now. And then Uncle John Boggs built the house out there, and it was a two-room house to begin with. His wife told me that himself, and she married him. And he and she built onto the house, and he finally went to Pickens, A.J. Boggs. He became clerk of court for 16 years. And I don't know how, I guess Uncle Hal bought it from him some way. He became in possession of it.
And do you have any idea where your Uncle Hal lived before that?
Well, Uncle Hal's wife was reared in the Calhoun Mansion, and he lived, I think he must have lived in the mansion with her for a while before they built. You see, Mr. Clemson willed Uncle Hal's wife $10,000 and Uncle Hal's mother $10,000. And that gave them what they thought at that time was a rich person. Of course, it doesn't go very far now.
You might tell us, if you will, who Hal's wife and his mother-in-law were.
Well, Miss Jane Prince was his mother-in-law, and Uncle Hal was the daughter. So,
Essie was the daughter.
Essie was the daughter. Let's see what the man's name was. I've heard of it. Starts off with a V, I believe. I'm not sure that I can think of it right now, but I'll think of it sometime and tell you. Leave a blank where you don't get that name.
Okay.
So sometimes in the night you wake up and one wakes up and thinks of something they weren't able to think of earlier.
So your Uncle Hal married Essie Prince.
Essie Prince.
And for a while you imagine they lived in the Calhoun Mansion.
Yes.
And then later, after your Uncle John Boggs was elected clerk of court, I think that was 1901,
uh-huh.
Then they were able to take over that house.
Yay.
I've heard that the house was called Riverside.
Uh-huh. Well, and it was a smaller house, you see. And Sally said it was two rooms at one time when they lived there. So he built all the front onto the house and had an upstairs and everything. and had one of those little lookout places, you know, like the Widow's Walk in Boston, mm-hmm. up on top of the house.
Was the house closer to the Seneca River at that time than it is
well,
to the
no,
water
it's
now?
Just a nice little walk from here. It's right where it is now. Where they began, it is where it's finished.
But did the river run closer to it at that time?
The river used to be Kiowee and 12 Mile, and they ran together. A 12 Mile River might have been a little closer because, you see, Kiowee was a stronger river. And when they cut the two in, I remember going and swimming at 12 Mile.
Many a time, I bet.
No, I didn't go many times, but I did go some, I know. 12 Mile and Kiowee River. And now I guess it's all, what's it called now, Kiowee River yet?
I suppose.
Uh-huh.
Now, your grandfather, Aaron Boggs, had a farm on the Seneca River.
Oh,
was
yeah.
that the place
oh,
that...
He owned all the way to the river bottoms.
From where to where?
Oh, from where he started from up there with the house, you know, where the railroad wasn't going to affect it. All the way to the river bottoms. I've driven through there with Mother lots of times. There used to be a covered bridge there. And we'd drive through there. And Mother said my father said he owned down to the bridge.
Are you talking about the old Ravenel Bridge?
The old Ravenel Bridge. That's the one.
So that was quite a sizable piece of land.
Yeah, yes.
Do you know how far north he owned?
No, I don't know. I don't know how far he owned. He might not have owned any more except around Clemson. See, my mother was born over there, on the kind of knoll we came up, two-story house. I don't know, of course it was torn down.
That's the one you said was near Cherry's Crossing.
Mm-hmm, over that way.
So, to backtrack just a minute, you said your grandfather, Aaron Boggs, did not, as far as you know, inherit very much, but he was very capable.
No, I don't think he inherited very much. I think he was reared up near Liberty somewhere.
Tell us about his wife, your grandmother.
Oh, my grandmother was really a wonderful lady, you know, as grandmothers are. She was a wonderful lady. And as long as she lived, they always kept a reserved seat for her for the graduating exercises at Clemson, Grandmother Boggs. And she was a wonderful lady. She had a good mind and was cheerful. Now, I know Mrs. Reed used to come over and bring her mother, Mrs. Merritt, I believe was her name, over to see my grandmother when she was here.
What was your grandmother's name?
Elmira Lewis Stephens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S, Stephens.
So that, in part, is who your mother was named for, her mother, Elmira.
Uh-huh.
Where was your grandmother from?
Well, she was from near Pelton, somewhere. Oh, yes, I remember, you know, that high hill before you get to the underpass going into Pelton? Mm-hmm. There was an old home there, and that's where my grandfather proposed to her. They were going up the stairs that were winding, and they went up this way, and then that way. So he stopped there and proposed to my grandmother. And she told him, I view not your features, your form, nor your air. It is your mind with a soul I love, I declare. Did I give you that once before?
No.
Different ones. Well, that's what she told him when he asked her to marry him.
Let's see, according to your family Bible, your grandfather Aaron Boggs was born in December 1822. I don't believe it has your grandmother's birth date, but it says that they were married January 17.
He was 7 years older than she.
They were born January 17, 1849. So they both came from old families in the area.
He was 7 years older than she, always.
And both the Boggs and Stevens families were from the area,
uh-huh.
well known. Your Boggs ancestor, I believe, was in the Revolutionary.
But what do you think of her proposal to the proposal? I mean, her answer. I view not your features, your form, nor your air. It is your mind with a soul I love, I declare. She taught me that herself. what she said to him.
It sounds like she had time to practice and get that ready ahead of time, doesn't it?
She married him, and you see, he was 7 years older than she, and she died. He lived 7 years longer than he, I believe. The record would show it in the Bible.
Well, let's check that if we can while we're looking.
She lived 7 years longer than he did, I think.
Let's see, your family Bible doesn't have their death dates.
It doesn't have the date they died.
No, but I believe he died in 1912, and as you said, she lived several years later.
Uh-huh.
You were quoting the
answer to his proposal.
Right. Let me also quote you something I found very nice. Do you remember the saying on your father's grave?
Oh,
at the cemetery.
Does it say he wrote with willing hands, or was that on one of the others?
It's one of the others. For your father, it says, how desolate our home,
oh,
bereft,
yes,
of thee.
Oh, yes.
Which I thought particularly nice.
Yes. You know, people were very careful about what they wrote then. They wrote just like they felt, you know. I know that was the way Mother felt at the time.
Back in the Pekin Sentinel about 90 years ago, it said that Aaron Boggs had a number of Calhoun antiques. Do you remember seeing any of these?
Antiques?
Yes, from the Calhoun family.
Oh, yes. Yes, they had the piano.
Is that the one that's at the mansion now?
Uh-huh. I don't know whether it's in the mansion now or whether he's lent it to someone. The boy from Easley, a cousin of mine, Newton has that piano, and that was in their home, had the piano, and then they had the old-fashioned cupboards, some with the rounded, would fit in the corners, and some would fit in square, and they had the beds with four posters. Some of the beds were very beautiful, and Mrs. A.J. Boggs got one of the loveliest ones. Her beds were not too high. Now that one in there, the room where you went, that is the bed that my grandparents used to sleep on and died on.
Hmm.
That one right in there that you looked at.
Do you know where it came from?
Oh, it came from John E. Calhoun. John E. Calhoun was John C. Calhoun's brother, and he lived across the river. I was there once, and the columns were still there. Years later, students' boys, just to see if they could, push the columns down. And the pit was there where they kept their food cool and things like that. John E. Calhoun was a double first cousin of John C. Calhoun. Did you ever hear that?
Yes, I had. And that's the Okeowee plantation that you're talking about.
Yes.
One of the other plantations that the Calhoun family had was Cold Spring Place.
Cold Springs, yes.
Where was that?
Well, I think maybe this place was called Cold Springs. I don't know what else. I don't know of any places farther back.
Do you remember where Cold Spring was located?
I don't. Cold Springs, I don't know. Cold Springs could have been the place that they lived, because they used the spring water all their lives.
Let me ask you something else that's immediately right now. Can you tell me what we're listening to?
Oh, beg pardon?
What are we listening to right now?
You mean on the outside of?
Yes.
I don't know. I'll look out to see if I can see it.
Sounds like a freight train going by.
Oh, yes. It is a train. Oh, yes, it's a train going by. That's what it is.
Your house is only a few yards from the railroad.
No, it isn't far.
So I assume the railroad has been a significant part, and you've heard those trains most of your life.
Oh, yes. I'll make it go to you. You know, once when I was a little girl, and I was a very bad little girl to worry my mother, I used to travel, a freight train was going very slowly, and I started mother sending me to Clemson for something, I don't know what. And I thought to myself, I think I can touch that train. So as the cars came along, I touched the cars. And Mother was afraid to call me for fear I'd turn around and get a leg cut off or something. And she gave me a whipping after that, touching the train. Wasn't that an awful thing to scare you? But it was going very slowly.
Well, I suspect all the children in the area have played at and around the railroad all of their lives.
I don't know, but I know that's one thing happened to me, that I touched the train as it was moving. It was loaded down, and it just moved slowly. We didn't have fast engines and all that we have now. But, of course, that gave her an awful scare, and she's standing up there in the backyard looking at me doing that.
How old were you at the time?
I don't know, but I must have been 12 years old or something, that to have long enough arms to touch over the train and not get caught under it. I must have been 12 or 14, there's no telling. I was a tomboy. You ever hear all of them? And that big barn out there, you know, I used to love to be up on top of the barn playing and things like that. And my sister Gracie was altogether different, not at all like me. She was nice and refined, but I was the wild type.
Let me ask you some more things about the railroad. Very close by is the depot. About how long has the present building been there?
Well, you know, the old one was burned.
About when did that happen?
You know when that happened. And
do you know when the old one burned?
No, I don't, but I was thinking about the new one. Oh, when it was being constructed, it was before Christmas time, and Marion, I was thinking about how old she was at that time. The reason I remember this, we were meeting Marion and Rita coming to spend Christmas with us. And they were so small, the conductor hesitated about letting them come alone. He said, oh, well, there'll be someone there to meet them. You don't worry about that. So Marion and Rita were living in Atlanta at the time, and they came on the train. And of course, we were down there to meet them. When I saw two little red suitcases getting off, little red tiny checked suitcases, I knew Marion and Rita were coming, and we were down there to meet them, and the railroad building had been something done about it. I don't know whether it was building it a new one or what, but anyway, it was under construction, and it was so cold, and the train was late, and there's some students down around there going off. So we got with the students in the corner and tried to get where the wind wouldn't hit us before the train came. But this conductor got off and had two little suitcases. Yelled out, anybody here to meet two little girls? We said, yes, we're here. So we were there, and of course he could tell when they got off the train, they knew us quite well.
Well, the depot right now is just at the foot of Clemson Street and on the south side of the tracks. Has it always been in the same spot?
No, it was a little bit higher up.
Towards Seneca?
Just a little bit. I would say about approximately the distance of this room, but I'm just guessing now. I'm a child for you.
And is that the very old station that was burned that was a bit farther away?
Oh, the old station was just a little bit closer. This one just about this much farther away than the other one.
One of the important features nearby is the underpass under the railway. Do you know if that was put there when they first built the railway, or did that come later?
They put an underpass there when the double track came, and it was a poor underpass, so they later rebuilt it. This one is not so terribly old. And they built it and still let the trains pass over as they were building it.
Well, before that underpass was built, when they double-tracked, how did people get from the other side of the railroad to here?
Well, it used to come right down the street, and they had a way of crossing the railroad. It smoothed over the rock, you know, rock between the trains, and kept going by the horse and buggy down that side. The road has been changed. It's been changed over that way, too.
So on the other side, the south side of the railroad, would have been a built-up dirt path that led up to the railroad.
On the other side of the railroad, I think it was. It was an old house over there in the center. And the new road went down this way, you see. And the old road used to go this way, cross the railroad closer to our house.
Mm-hmm.
Closer to our house up here. But when they built that underpass, you see, they built it down there. I guess where there wasn't so much grading to do.
I understand your uncle, Hal Boggs, did telegraphy for the railroad.
Uncle Hal did what?
He was a telegrapher for the railroad.
Oh, yes, yes, he was. And his sons were, too.
What were their names?
Clifton Boggs and Kilford Boggs and Aaron joined the army. He went back to... Both Boggs. I knew there were three sons. Clifton and Kilford and Raoul Boggs.
Do you remember any of the station masters?
Beg pardon, do I?
Remember any of the station masters?
I don't think
railroad?
Any of them were anything but telegraphers. Well, they might have been in charge of the... They were not agents, though.
Do you remember any of the men who were agents?
Ramsey Doyle was an agent.
And he lived nearby.
Uh-huh. Do you have his name down?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. Well, that's right. Well,
Colonel
Ramsey
Doyle.
They called him Colonel Doyle. I think... I don't know what he did, but he went down the state and they named him, gave him that title of colonel. I don't know what he deserved to do. I couldn't think of anything he deserved to have him, but he did.
Do you remember any of the other people in charge of the railroad here?
Ramsey Doyle was in charge. Mr. Quickle, for one time. Did you ever hear of Quickle?
He shows up in the census records. What happened to him?
Well, he lived up there in the corner.